Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we believe every word. We believe that this is a simple statement of fact. Lord, we accept it as such. Open your word to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have been looking at Genesis, and we've looked at why we believe in creation and many other things. And as we go through this first chapter, we're going to bring out some scientific things. But the first thing I want to do is let's begin with Genesis 1:1. If you look at the first words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Notice that everything had a beginning except God. Everything had a beginning except God. Where did God come from? There's a book by Norman Geisler and Ravi Zacharias. It's called Who Made God? That's a good question, isn't it? Who made God? Now, if we were going to give the answer for a child, the answer would be, well, no one did. He wasn't made. He's always existed. Only things that had a beginning, like the world, need a maker. God had no beginning, so God didn't need to be made. And so if you explain that to a child, God didn't need to be made because he's always been. You know what the child's going to say? Oh, okay. Yeah, all right, that makes sense. I get that. Only things that have a beginning have to be made. The world had a beginning, God made it. God doesn't have a beginning, so God didn't need to be made. When you get to an adult, well, the adult might have been taught some things along the way. The atheist relies on the first law of thermodynamics. Remember what that is. Matter cannot be created or destroyed. Matter cannot be created or destroyed. So what the atheist believes is that the world has just always been. They might believe that there was some kind of a big bang. We've looked at that. But most atheists believe that the world has just always been. Well, the problem is that this matter cannot be created or destroyed. The way the law ought to read is this. As far as we have observed, the actual amount of energy in the universe remains constant. As far as we have observed. See, because here's the idea. Nobody was there except God. This, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that's an eyewitness account. That is a testimony, a fact, as to what happened. No one had observed any actual new energy either coming into existence or going out of existence. And yet God created it all. So when a scientist looks at the world and they see that there are constants that are going on, well, that doesn't prove what happened at the beginning. It actually says nothing about what happened at the beginning. It just demonstrates what can be observed now. When this law of thermodynamics is understood properly, it says nothing about the universe being eternal or having no beginning. So when someone says, where did God come from? That's the wrong question, because everything came from God. Not where did God come from, but everything came from God. Remember what John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without anything, and without him was not anything made that was made. So in the beginning, God had no beginning. He had no beginning. So if the universe is not eternal, this is a pretty interesting thought. If the universe is not eternal, then it had to have a cause, right? Things don't just happen. Cause. There has to be a cause. So if the universe is not eternal, it must have been caused. If there is a God and he is eternal. Now remember what the atheist says. The atheist says the world has always been. It didn't need to be caused. Well then, if there is a God who is eternal, then why do you ask where his cause came from? You see? So the atheist argument, it really does break down. God had no cause. The technical term is, when you ask where did God come from, that's a categorical mistake. It's a mistake of categories. It would be like asking, how many babies has he had? Where is the bachelor's wife? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. That's like asking, who created the uncreated? It's a misnomer. No one made God because God was not made. He has always been. God is eternal. So what does the Bible say? Look at Deuteronomy 33:27. Deuteronomy fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy 33:27. In the beginning, God. That's what it says in Genesis 1:1. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. So this is their hope. This is what the Jews believed, that God was the eternal God, and that his everlasting arms were supporting them. God is eternal. This is the assumption. Notice that there's no attempt to defend that. It doesn't say the God that we believe is eternal. It says the eternal God. Notice the difference. He is. It's a statement of fact. Look at Psalm 90, verse 2. This is my favorite verse on this. Pastor Nathan, it is. I think the air conditioning is too low. It's too cool. Take care of that for me. Psalm 90, verse 2. This is such a great verse. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From everlasting. So draw a line that way and draw a line that way. And as far as those lines will go, that's how long God has been and will be. Thou art God. Again, no desire to explain, no argument. This is who he is. He is the eternal God. Look at Revelation 4:8. In the beginning, God, the eternal God. Revelation chapter 4. Remember what's happened in Revelation 4:1? John is caught up into heaven, and he's seeing this vision. He's seeing this what's going on in heaven. And look at verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That's our God. He was, he is, and he is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Notice the three persons of the Godhead. Holy, holy, holy. Co-eternal, coexistent, forever. Now look at the next verse. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Look at verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Don't you love the way the Bible starts and the way the Bible ends? It begins with God being the eternal God. No explanation for Him, just the assumption that He is eternal. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Then, go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. He created. Now, I want you to see something. Creation is always referred to in the Bible as a past event. It doesn't say, in the beginning God began creating. It says, in the beginning God created. Amen? So, on December 22nd, 1990, Laura and I were married. We're not in the process of getting married. On January 28th, 1978, I was born again. I was saved. I'm not in the process of being saved. It's a past event with continuing results. Creation is a past event with continuing results. How do you know that there are continuing results? We're here. Right? So creation is always referred to in the Bible as a past event. Look at Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, talking about Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, makes them alive, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Look at that last sentence. And calleth things which be not as though they were. When the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, that the term is ex nihilo, that is out of nothing. And I like the way that the Bible says it. He said things that are as though they were. You know, my son enjoys superhero stuff and Star Wars and Transformers and all of these different creatures. And he's always coming in, Dad, I unlocked, you know, Doofer, you know, or whatever, some name. And give me somebody that you unlocked recently in one of your games. Man-Bat. And then the character says, you mean Batman? No, it's Man-Bat. What is Man-Bat? Somebody had an imagination and created this thing. It's imaginary. It's not real. The difference is God speaks something that is not real, and all of a sudden it is. That's the difference. And so when God speaks, He speaks as if it had happened in the past, and it continues. Look at Hebrews 11:3. We looked at this last week, but this is kind of the primary verse for this. Hebrews 11:3. And this is what we said. Remember, this was the verse that we put with this point last week, that creation is a theological issue, not a scientific issue. Creation is a theological issue, not a scientific issue. Science has nothing to offer to our understanding of creation. Nothing. Now, we can understand the creation through science, right? But actually, how it happened, science doesn't tell us anything about that, because science can tell us nothing about the supernatural. Science can only study natural phenomena. Science can tell us nothing about the supernatural. All right? So now, look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds are being framed by the Word of God. We're framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Out of nothing, He made everything, and it happened in the past, so creation is always referred to as a past event. You say, Pastor, that's great. Thank you for that. Here, let me tell you why that's so important. If it happened in the past, that means it's not continuing. Evolution is supposedly continuing. We are evolving. No, we're not. We're just people. I was looking at National Geographic this past week, and their current issue is about how Darwin was right. Remember, this is the 150th year of his book. It's the 200th anniversary of his birth. So everybody's going nuts about Darwin right now. And so it's saying scientific evidence that Darwin was right. And it shows this tank with two mice. And there's a white mouse and a brown mouse. And it's showing how genetically they are adapting. They're still mice. It does nothing to prove Darwin's theory. Of course we believe in adaptation. Look around. We have big people, we have little people. We have white people, we have brown people. We have blonde people, we have bald people. See, I think that baldness is evolution. You don't have to mess with any of this stuff. It's all good. You know, some people can use it as a mirror. You know, there's all... Listen, we understand there's adaptation, right? Everybody, that's observable. Of course there's adaptation. There are changes within species, or I like the Bible word, within kinds. But creation happened. It's not continuing to happen. It's a past event. The Bible always looks at creation as a past event. The Bible views it as complete and finished. How do we know that? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 31, Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus, chapter 2 and verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were what? Would you mark that word? Finished. Do you think God understood what he meant when he said it was finished? It's done. If it's not finished there, then it's not finished on the cross. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. If our sin debt was paid for on the cross, if he had finished his sacrifice, if we believe that, then we've got to believe that he finished the creation. Amen. All the way back in the beginning. Very important. Very important. So this idea that maybe God is still using evolution or God used evolution, no. Could God have used evolution? No. Why not? Because evolution doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. Why would God need evolution? He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. All right? So now, in the beginning, God created. Creation is always referred to as a past event. The Bible always views creation as complete and finished. So here is God's pattern. Here is God's pattern. One of the things that we're going to learn from the book of Genesis is this law of first mention. The law of first mention. This is really important. You might want to write it down, the law of first mention. The first time anything is mentioned in the Bible gives us very important information about that subject. Anytime you have something mentioned the first time in the Bible, God gives you very important information about that subject. So if Genesis is the first book in the Bible, then everything that it talks about is first mentioned. Right? So the information about God in Genesis 1:1 is vitally important. But what we learn through the Bible is God's pattern of doing things. The Bible says, I am God, behold, I change not. The Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus Christ is the same, God is the same. When you learn the way that God functions, then all of a sudden you can learn what to anticipate from God and how to stay within His will. So let's look at the pattern of how God does things. First of all, there's creation. And that's in the past. Creation. That's in the past. Then, number two, is conservation. That's in the present. Conservation. That's in the present. Look at the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. If you go to Psalms and go back a couple of books, you'll find Nehemiah. This is... You know, when we talk about God preserving things, conserving things, keeping them in existence, I always think of the New Testament. The Bible talks about how God upholds all things by the word of His power, right? Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of His power. The Bible says that they're created for Him and by Him all things consist. So He creates it and then He conserves it. He keeps it. He preserves it. Now check this out. We're at Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This is the Old Testament version of that. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Can the people say amen there? Amen. Amen. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Now, can the people say amen there? What did God make? Everything. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. That's a cross-reference to John 1:3, isn't it? You might want to write John 1:3 right next to that. Now look at the next thing that it says. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Isn't that awesome? God created, and as a result of His creation, the heavenly hosts worship Him. Because He's preserving it. He's preserving it. You might want to write down Job chapter 38 next to that. Remember what happened? God's asking Job a question. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the sons of God shouted for joy. The heavenly hosts worship God because of His creation. Do you know what people do? They reject God because of His creation. When we look at the creation is supposed to make us shout about who God is, because it's so beautiful. I can tell you this, when I was up on top of the Alps, at the highest point in Europe, and we're looking out at this amazing creation, all we could do is praise God. All we could do is praise God. How could you look out there and say, isn't it amazing this natural process did this? So God's pattern is creation and then conservation. And then the third thing in God's pattern is coronation. 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 You see, what we have is we have that God created the earth, God keeps the earth. But while he kept the earth, he came and he died on the cross. He was buried. He rose from the dead the third day. He walked around for about 40 days, more than 500 people seeing him alive. And then he ascended up into heaven. And right now, he's seated on the right hand of God, making intercession for you and for me. Isn't that right? But one day soon, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together and meet in the clouds to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? And then what happens is there's 7 years of tribulation where God tries his people. He judges the nation of Israel, and they come back to him. And they say, "You are my God." And God says, "You are my people." And then the Lord returns. He sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. He marches into Jerusalem and establishes his kingdom. And then he rules as king on the throne for 1,000 years. So here's God's plan. Creation, conservation, and then the coronation of the king. He's going to rule. Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Now remember what we're doing. We're looking at the way God works. Philippians chapter 2. Remember, Jesus Christ suffered. It says in verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's going to come a day when everybody bows and exalts Jesus Christ as Savior. So you have creation, conservation, and the coronation. Well, what happens next? Cremation. Cremation. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord, does that bring anything out for y'all? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? Remember, now we have the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is when the Lord returns, takes us away, establishes his kingdom, rules for 1,000 years. The day of God is eternity. But what happens at the beginning of eternity? Look at what it says. Looking and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So what we have is we have God's pattern, God's order of things is creation. He created everything out of nothing. Then we have conservation. He created it and he keeps it. The next thing that you have is coronation. Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne. He created this earth and he created us in it to give him glory and worship him, to be our God and for us to be his people. Amen? That's going to happen. But because there is still sin in this world and God cannot tolerate sin, he is going to destroy it all. He created it all out of nothing and he reduces it to nothing. Only God can do that. So God's pattern is this. It's creation, it's conservation, it's coronation, then it's cremation. Then what does he do? Creation. Look at the next verse. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. Not sin, but righteousness. Not sin, but righteousness. So here is God's plan, God's pattern, God's order is God creates, God conserves, and then he's going to be coronated, and then you have the cremation, and then you have the creation. Why does God create again? He's a creator. It's what a creator does. A creator creates. And it's perfect. It's perfect. So that's God's pattern. So in the beginning, God, and we understand that God is eternal. And then we understand that God created and that creation is always in the past, and that establishes the first step of God's pattern. So what does that mean to us? Well, we can learn something from this pattern. As a believer, I need to understand creation. Creation. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You know what? Let's start in verse 8. We can't just go right near that verse and not read it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So let me ask you something. Everybody look up here for a second. I want to ask you a question. How many of you were involved in creation? How many of you participated in your own conception? Well, that's a strange question, isn't it? Then why in the world do people believe that they participate in their new birth? See, if you are born again, you are a creation of God. That could only be done by the supernatural power of God out of nothing. Because in me that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. God didn't take what I am and make it better. He made something new. Here's how I know that. Look at the next verse. For we are His workmanship. What does it say right there? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, your new birth, when you are born again, that is that you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, you are born again, you are a creation. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:17? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Something that had never existed before. Not the man bat. But a new creature. A new creature. So that's the first step. God always does it the same way, doesn't He? His pattern. Creation. What's the next thing? Conservation. Conservation. In my life, do I keep my salvation? Remember what Bob Jones Jr. always said? If it was up to me, I wouldn't be saved until I had my first cup of coffee in the morning. Right? I don't keep my salvation. Jesus Christ does. Look with me at 2 Thessalonians 3:3. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He's going to keep you from evil. When I get saved, I don't keep myself. Jesus Christ keeps me. We talk about the verse all the time. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Who have we believed in? Jesus Christ. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. So creation and conservation. What's the next thing that happens? Coronation. Coronation. What's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? We get our rewards. Look at 1 Corinthians. You know what? Look at Colossians. Let's go there. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now let's stop there for a second. Do you know one of the great problems with our culture? You ready? Here's one of the great problems with our culture. We've got a lot of men whose life's verse is a dial tone. Never higher, never lower. I'm just here and happy to be here. You got the wife, Why aren't you more interested in the kids? Why aren't you more interested in the house? Why aren't you more interested in me? Why aren't you more interested in our relationship? What do you think about this? It's okay. I like it. It's all good. Are you glad you're saved? Yeah, yeah, glad I'm saved. Your wife says, do you love me? Oh, yeah, yeah. Boy, yeah, really? Love you a lot. Did you know people are going to hell? Yep, that's a shame. You know it's all going to burn? Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, sure is. Is that heartily as to the Lord? Seriously. Is that zeal? Is that passion? Is that over the top? It was so fun having the teenagers involved in the Awana race yesterday. Because, man, they're jumping up and down, yelling, going crazy. And it was fun having them a part of that. Somehow, you guys, when you got past a certain age, you lost your ability to get excited. You lost it. Your service for the Lord is supposed to be full of passion and zeal. Your love for your wife is supposed to be full of passion and zeal. Remember how hard you worked to get her? Now look, almost all you guys in here married up. You know what I'm saying? And so you've got this great bride, and she comes home, or you come home from work, you see her, and she says, do you like my new dress? And you go, Look, man, we need to understand that God expects us to do things heartily as unto the Lord. Now look at this, Colossians 3. Where are we? What verse? 23, all right? And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Look at verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Do it heartily. Remember what God's order is. It's creation. He made you. Amen? And now He's keeping you, conservation. And one day, if you serve Him heartily as to the Lord, you're going to receive those crowns. And what do we do with those crowns? We take them, we lay them at His feet. That's God's plan. But we know, right? Creation, conservation, coronation, what comes next? Cremation. Let's check this out. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 12. You know what? Let's start reading in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has laid the foundation for us, right? Okay, verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be shown plainly to everybody. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Huh. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So here's the cremation. What are you building? Since God is keeping you, you don't have to work to keep your salvation. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Amen? And Jesus Christ wants, He's promised you rewards if you serve Him heartily as to the Lord. He's going to do that. Is God going to keep His word? Is Jesus going to do what He said? Yeah. But what He's also telling you is, as you're building, what are you building with? Gold, silver, precious stones, valuable things? Or wood, hay, and stubble? Because the cremation's coming. Remember, seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? We should be holy in our conversation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. That's what we are supposed to do. So you have creation, that we're a new creature created in Him. Then we are conserved. He keeps us. And then we're coronated. He's going to give us rewards. And yet, much of what we're giving our lives to is going to burn. And then, creation. Creation. Here's the cool part. One of these days. Look at 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now remember, the only person that can be called a son of God is a creature, a created being of God. Remember that. You've got to be created by God and have the image of God to be His son. That happens at salvation. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now look, let's stop right there. Doesn't appear what we shall be. When I look at Ty Blackford, I see Ty Blackford. I'm not seeing Jesus yet. Okay? Now, through his behavior, I should see the Christ life in him. Amen? Amen? But I don't see Jesus yet. So it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. All right? But look at what it says. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Do you know what that is? That's creation. You know what happens? He makes us like Him, and then He has us inhabit the new heavens and the new earth, and we are with Him in righteousness and perfection forever throughout the rest of that day of God, which is eternity. That's God's pattern. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Creation is past. Then comes conservation. He keeps it. Then comes coronation. Jesus is coming back to sit on the throne. He's going to rule and reign. We're going to worship Him as God. And then comes the cremation. Everything here is going to burn because of sin. And then the creation. He's going to make it new. God has repeated that pattern. So where are you in that pattern? Have you been saved? Have you been a part of that new creation? Are you a new creation? If you are a new creation, are you resting in His conservation? Do you realize that once you're saved, you're saved? You can't be unsaved. My dad might get mad at me, but he's always going to be my dad. Isn't that right? He could kill me, but he's still my father. It's just the way it is. Conservation, are you resting? Are you resting in His salvation? Are you resting in that? Then how about this? Are you going to have rewards? Or is it going to be cremation, the wood, hay, and stubble? What are you living for? Are you living your life hearty as to the Lord? Or are you a dial tone? Where are you? Where are you? You know, you're watching a medical show, and everybody's in there, and you see the line. All right, charge! Give me 200! 200 what? I have no idea. Give me 200! Clear! Do you know what some of you guys need? 200. You know? And start getting excited for the Lord and living for Him, because He's going to recreate it all. Going to live forever with that. I want something to lay at His feet, don't you? Because all the way back in the beginning, He created the heaven and the earth. Do you know what the good news is? Wherever you are on that process, wood, hay, or stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, today can be a new beginning. Today, you could have had all wood, hay, and stubble, but starting today, you can have gold, silver, and precious stones. And here's the best news about the whole thing. Do you remember that parable where Jesus Christ is telling the story about the guy that goes and hires some workers? They work all day. They get done. He pays them. About an hour before closing time, he hires some more guys. They work for an hour. He pays them the same thing as he paid these others. The other guys get mad. And he says, what business is it of yours what I pay? I paid you what I told you I was going to pay. You know what the good news is? You might be Dan News age. That's terrible, isn't it, Dan? What's that? He's a young man. Amen. He's a new creature. See, here's the idea. It doesn't matter where you are in this walk. Have you ever looked back and said, I wasted so much time? God doesn't look at it like that. He doesn't look at it like that. You can start today, have that new beginning, and end up with the rewards in heaven. Now, here's the way that we work. Ready? Here's the way that we work. Some teenager, Cody, you might be thinking, hey, you know what that means? I'm 17. That means that I can goof off until I'm 60 and then work real hard for the Lord before I die and I'll get the same thing. You think that's the way it works? No. No, but I can tell you this, God in His grace will let all of you start over. He will let all of you start over. Thank you, Lord, so much.